2 hours, so it looks like we're going to rip a two-hour pod.
There's so much that we could talk about.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Counterculture Podcast. I am here with... Go ahead, say your name.
LK.
LK.
It's so funny because I actually hate the name Lauren.
Why?
That's
your birth name.
It is, but my name was supposed to be Bridget.
Really?
And yeah, fun fact, but okay. My dad knew a horse named Bridget, so he was like, no, we can't name our daughter Bridget. But there were four Laurens in my class, so it was like really hard to have your own identity.
Yeah.
So growing up, people called me Bridget as my nickname.
No, what, is your middle name Bridget now?
No.
No.
It's
okay.
Not.
So
my
you just
name's
told
Mary.
People. All right, so you're just like, I was supposed to be Bridget, so I'd prefer if you called me by Bridget.
Yeah, so just call me Bridget. And now in my adulthood, like everybody knows me by Lauren or my last name Khalil. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to start saying my name's LK.
Okay.
And in my emails, I've recently started signing like LK.
At the bottom?
And yeah, and James Hobart recently asked, oh, do people call you that? And I was like... They do now.
Yeah, not yet, but they will.
It's
damn
about
right.
to be a thing. It's not yet, but we're going to make it a thing.
That's pretty gangster. But like me, when I think of LK, it's like Latin Kings. So not to be confused with Latin Kings, right?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I have no Latin in my blood at all.
So okay, good.
That could be really confusing.
Awesome. Well, hey, I appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me.
I'm glad we could finally do this.
Yeah, finally, right?
We've been
like,
trying for
I think
so
first
long.
It was Rogue. I was like, hey, you want to sit down? And you were like, I'm really, really busy. Wadapalooza, you were really, really busy. And I can tell that you're really, really busy, which leads me to my first thing. You're referred to as the Queen of Hustle, right?
Yeah, it's so funny because that nickname actually came from a t-shirt.
Okay.
So Kenny with Sherpa Works. Maybe like a year and a half ago, he was like, hey, I feel like we should start like a Lauren Khalil line. We could like vibe off of this. You're always hustling. Let me come up with a couple different like templates and send them over to you. And he sent me a shirt and it said Khalil, Queen of Hustle. And it actually had two dogs on either end.
Okay.
And they were essentially like stencils of my two dogs, Siberian Samoyeds.
Oh, sweet.
And that's what really stood out to me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, like Queen of Hustle, that's pretty cool too. And then people just kind of started recognizing me by that.
Yeah.
And it was something that just has stuck now.
I like that a lot because a lot of like what I like to or who I like to talk to on this podcast are like hustlers or people who are doing something separate from the 9 to 5, which you're definitely doing. You're definitely doing that.
What is a 9 to 5?
I've never even heard of it.
Is that a thing?
No. Could you even imagine sitting in a cubicle?
Oh, I would hate that.
It'd be terrible.
I would hate that.
You get to like actually travel, have fun, see the world.
Yeah.
What's that like?
It is so interesting. It's rewarding. No day feels the same.
Yeah.
So even on like travel stints where I'm feeling tired or I'm feeling like, you know, you just want to go home and lay in your own bed. There's something so special about being in your own bed. But
dude, tell me about it.
Then I get to my next destination or it's a brand new day of competition and you start talking to people and you hear these stories or you meet somebody who just is so inspiring. And it just really makes me appreciate the life that I've kind of created for myself in the space.
Yeah. So how did you go about creating this type of lifestyle? How many trips do you have planned for the year?
Oh, I don't know. I would need my computer.
Like way too many?
Yeah, because in a perfect world, I'm somebody that is really, really organized and I live by my calendar and sticky notes and to-do lists in the notes section of my phone. So working in CrossFit is like, it doesn't really make sense for the things that I love when it comes to organization. But gosh, I know that I'm going to spend some time in Europe. I'm going to be in Iceland. I'll probably be at the European semifinals. I'll probably be back in the UAE for DFC and Grove Games. I'll be all over the U.S. for both local competitions, but also, you know, the Games, Rogue.
Yeah.
So, gosh, I don't know, but I'm sure that I'll be traveling the world again this year.
That's amazing. That's like, that's anybody's dream, right? But I agree with you, like, being at home, even the little, we travel a lot for an average like couple, right?
Yeah.
But like even we went to Wadapalooza last week. We were home for Monday, Tuesday, flew out Wednesday, and I'm like, by the second day of being here, I'm like, God, I miss my bed. I miss my eight sleep. I want,
you know, I just want to cool up. Like, I need the cooling and heating sensation right now.
Exactly. Yeah. I like need a good night's sleep. I finally got a good night's sleep last night.
Yeah. Good. But, good. Yeah. We need it every now and then.
Thank you. Yes. We need our beauty sleep, right?
Yeah.
Especially people who are going to be on camera. Like, geez. how did you build this? What, like, where were you at in the beginning of your career? Did you go to college? What was the job you did after college?
Yeah.
And how do you get to here?
So I went to journalism school. That's what I studied.
Where at?
And Sacred Heart University.
Okay.
It's in Connecticut.
Cool.
Fairfield, Connecticut area.
Sweet.
And I specialized in sports broadcasting. I knew that I wanted to do sports. And come graduation, I actually had like a lot of really cool, unique internships. I interned for the Dan Patrick Show during Super Bowl week one year when they were in New York City.
Nice.
I interned with the Golf Channel, traveling to different, like, what did I go to? The Players, the Travelers, the U.S. Open, like a bunch of really, really cool golf
tournaments. How'd you get hooked up with that?
And just through connections that I made at my university.
Wow.
They had, like, a lot of our professors in the communications department were adjunct professors and had these, like, real-life careers. So one of my professors, he was, like, the main videographer for the Golf Channel, the show that they do.
That's sweet.
So he was able to like have connections and get me an internship and just a couple of other people. Oh, one of the guys on the Dan Patrick Show, he was my adjunct professor, Paul Papps.
Sweet. That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. So just like.
So you are on actual TV.
Yeah, so
nice.
I not for those gigs.
Oh, not that
would
for that.
Be,
okay.
No, that would be way too cool. I
yeah.
basically like warmed up everybody's coffees and got water.
You got to start somewhere.
I drove the golf cart around, but still, like a yeah. really cool experience to have a peek in the door of what it's like to, you know, be on camera, do interviews, call play by play, commentate, yeah. things like that. And then I graduated college. I applied to over 200 different jobs in local television, and maybe three or four of them were for a sports job, like for a local sports anchor. And I talked to one of my professors and advisors. I was like, I do not want to do news. I want to do sports. That's really where like my passion is in. And he was like, you know what? A lot of times you can get your foot in the door taking a news job and then just wait for an opening in sports. Do what you can to help out the sports department. So at my first job, I would shoot Friday night football. I would shoot high school basketball on Saturdays just as a way to kind of dip my toe in that space and show interest.
And by shoot,
but
do you mean you were in front of the camera or you were helping behind the camera?
No, all video work.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So I was shooting highlight packages for the sports departments. I was writing notes like what athletes like I had on camera, and they were telling me like who they needed, and I was doing all of the highlight reels for them essentially.
Cool.
On top of working in the news department as a reporter and a weekend anchor. So I eventually moved to Green Bay, Wisconsin, where go Pack go.
Yeah.
And poor Tommy and his Cowboys that lost.
Yep.
I feel a little bit bad for him, but not totally bad for
him. Don't feel bad. Yeah.
There's not that much empathy for him as much as he's a great person.
Damn
the
right.
The team is not a team I have ever rooted for. Growing up, my family was Giants fans.
Okay.
So even then, I hated the Cowboys.
Nice.
So it's just kind of part of life.
Yeah.
But so I moved to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I'm like, okay, this is the market that I'm going to work in and finally get my foot in the door with sports.
Mm-hmm.
And while I didn't have a specific like sports role, I was still the weekend anchor and reporter. Whether you worked in news or sports, you live in an NFL town.
Yeah.
You are gonna cover sports.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really good opportunity to start making connections.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, when I started in Green Bay, Wisconsin, that's when I found CrossFit.
Yeah.
And I would go into work at the news station. I worked the overnight shift, so from like 2:30 a.m. till 10:30 a.m.
Holy cow.
And then I would drive to my affiliate and take the 11 a.m. class.
Oh, geez.
And instead of like preparing at work and focusing on work, I would be looking at the class WAD.
Yeah.
I would be writing out my percentages, and I was so focused and invested
in
how am I going to perform in the gym? How can I like turn this into something? And I remember actually listening to Talking Elite Fitness and thinking to myself, like, dang, were they just like Tommy and Sean, were they just at the right place at the right time as this sport was thriving? Like, these are two guys that I look up to. I love listening to them commentate. Like, they seem like really great people. Mm-hmm. And they were truthfully almost like the people I looked up to very early on in the sport.
Yeah.
And then fast forward a couple years later, I just sent a cold email to the owner at the time of Morning Chalk Up and was like, hey, I would love to write for you guys or do media for you guys or really do anything. Here's my resume. I've mm-hmm. been a local news broadcaster for 8 years. And then 4 interviews later, they took me on as a part-time writer. And that's kind of where my career in the space started.
That's amazing. So when you're broadcasting, though, in Green Bay.
Yeah.
What were you like? What were you covering mostly? Like that night shift? I don't even watch. I would never know what's on.
The morning reporters that do the most ridiculous things on camera. That was me.
Okay.
So there was.
What's the most ridiculous thing you did on camera?
I went down a ketchup slide.
A ketchup slide?
A ketchup slide.
Okay.
So let me tell you.
Yeah.
Ketchup has vinegar in it.
Uh-huh.
Which burns your eyes.
Yeah.
And if you don't have goggles and you open your eyes as you're going down,
literally a water
slide, but made of ketchup.
Yeah. What was this for? Yeah.
The Seymour Hamburger Festival. So there's this small town in Wisconsin, Seymour, Wisconsin.
I've never even heard of that. We're from Wisconsin.
Okay. Yeah. They claim to have invented the hamburger. So
I think SpongeBob invented the hamburger.
I know. Yeah. And you can find this online. So one of the big like competitions that they would do during this festival is people would try to break the record of the distance in the ketchup slide.
No way. Okay.
So I did not break any records.
Was it an actual slide or like a slip and slide?
Slip and slide.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like a ketchup slip and slide.
So they just put, instead of like soap and shit, they put ketchup.
Oh, yeah. It's all ketchup.
Oh, God, dude.
And so I had my hair in braids that day.
Yeah.
So I'm not thinking, like, hours later, I go home to shower, and it was, like, all baked in between my braids. So as I'm standing in the shower, finally getting clean, it just, like, burns again. It just traumatized my eyes.
Oh, that's terrible.
All over again. But I would do things like that. They also have, do you know surgeon spawning?
No.
Surgeon spearing.
Okay.
So they're, like, these prehistoric, massive fish that folks will go out with their little ice shanties and they will have these big spears and they will spear the sturgeon.
Okay.
And then bring them out and it's like a big competition, like who gets the biggest one, and they weigh them, they measure them, all of that.
Normal Wisconsin shit.
Well, and then they also have sturgeon spawning where the men go up to the male fish.
Yeah.
They go up to these rocks on the shore.
Okay.
They lay eggs. The women. I don't know. It's
okay. It's been a long
hour of sleep. Yeah. The women go up. They lay the eggs.
Yeah.
Then the men fish come up and sperminate them. And it's this big outing where, like, families let their kids, like, go late to school to come out and see it.
To see that?
So I am in waders with the DNR as they are pulling them out of the water. They're tagging them. They're seeing male, female, like, marking them. So crazy shit like that is what my job was.
I'm just laughing because this seems so Wisconsin. Like, for people that don't understand Wisconsin, it's like fishing, ice shanty, snowmobile, beer, and sports. That's basically it.
And gun deer season.
Gun deer season is huge. Absolutely. Uh-huh. What made you, like, want to be on TV in front of a camera?
Truthfully, I don't know that that's really what I wanted.
Okay.
I know from a young age, my mom will, like, talk about memories, how, I mean, I'm from upstate New York, and we would go down to New York City multiple times a year, whether it was, like, to see a Broadway show, if it was to just walk around and see the holiday lights. And my mom said from a very young age, I would always beg to go stand outside of the Today Show.
Really?
Or go to the NBC studios, and I would stand in front of a green screen. And this is age, like, six or seven, and yeah. I would just be so vivacious in front of the screen and pretend like I'm doing the news or doing the weather.
Yeah.
And I used to use like my mom's big bristle hairbrush, and I used to use that as a microphone.
Nice.
And as yeah. she was like doing my hair for a dance competition or something,
yeah.
I would deliver the news to her or I would interview her. So sure. there was always just like this passion for storytelling or yeah. help being the microphone to what's going on or a platform for others, I think really is what it was.
Yeah, I think that that's important because there's a lot of stories that like do go on, especially in CrossFit or whatever. You were telling us a couple of stories today. We'll get to it. We'll get into it later. But that like if people didn't know about, you know, they would never care. But when you hear them, you're like, holy shit, that's
yeah.
nuts.
Yeah.
But for anybody that's listening or like watching and you don't know what she's talking about, standing outside of the Today Show and stuff, because that's a while back.
Yeah,
I remember that MTV, the Today Show. What was the other ones? Whatever. Oh. There was a bunch of stuff where people in New York would literally stand outside just waiting to be mm-hmm. on camera because they'd like
outside
they'd
the windows.
Yeah, they'd
yeah.
broadcast and then they would like it. Pan to the
and
to
then the
fans.
Anchors and meteorologists yeah. would come out and talk to yeah. you, ask you where you're from.
That was
and,
so cool. Such a cool.
Yeah,
age.
Like those yeah. are some highlight memories from growing up, just because, like. That is the earliest that I can remember
yeah.
having an interest for the career that these other people are doing.
Do you know what it is about storytelling that like got you hooked, or like what was the first story that you told?
Oh gosh. That's a great question. I don't remember the first story that I told, but I remember the first story that I told that had an impact.
What was that?
And it was back when I lived in Quincy, Illinois. That was my first job in
You've
local
been everywhere.
Television. Yeah, I've been everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
Yeah.
It's really cool because you meet so many people and make so many connections,
mm-hmm.
Which really makes it unique because you have friends everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, there's not really somewhere that I go where I'm not like, oh, there's somebody who lives like 15 minutes from here or a couple hours from here.
Yeah. You got a free Airbnb anywhere you
almost
go.
Almost anywhere, which is nice with yeah. the amount that I travel. But it was this story about this very, very small town that had these sidewalks that the city just kept putting down, like kicking the can down the road, not fixing them. And there was this.
Was it Milwaukee by chance?
Not
frick,
this one,
dude.
But yes, yeah. I've been to Milwaukee and I know exactly what you're talking about.
So terrible.
And there was this man who lived in the neighborhood who was handicapped and in a wheelchair. And I was getting video of the broken sidewalks, and he just happens to be outside of the house where I'm shooting video. And I start talking to him, and he's just talking about how he cannot go for a walk anymore or like go outside and get around his neighborhood
sure.
because of the broken sidewalk. And it's a risk if he goes in the street because it's a high traffic area. And I just remember like the empathy that I had for this man, because this is impacting his routine and yeah. his ability to kind of enjoy life.
Stay and healthy. Yeah.
After that story aired, I mean, it was within a week that the city then went and fixed these sidewalks.
Wow.
And at that moment, I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing something that actually has purpose and actually can impact people and provide help to others' lives when they feel helpless.
Yeah.
And that was something that I've really just taken with me, whether it was local news or whether it's sports. Stories have power and stories have meaning.
Yeah.
The stories just need to be told.
I agree. How does that impact you, though, as the storyteller? Mm-hmm. Does it make you more motivated to go do more meaningful stuff? Or what does it feel like?
Yeah, so it's interesting because, I mean, I love sports coverage.
Yeah.
I mean, it...
It's what you do.
It's what I do, and the smile that I have on my face, like, I can't even contain it. That's why I have these permanent smile marks.
Because I love it.
I'm smiling all the time.
Yeah.
But being at competitions like the one we're at right now, Fittest of the Coast, one of my favorite parts about covering smaller events like outside of the games, Wadapalooza, Rogue, is that you have the ability to do more like human interest stories
mm-hmm.
outside of just the leaderboard.
Yeah.
And during the off season, that's when I really try to like get to know the elite athletes on a more personal level. I mean, most of them I'm either like texting or like I see them very frequently, or we're like sending memes on Instagram, and yeah. It just lets you know the human behind the athlete. Mm-hmm. And that has certainly helped me with storytelling for yeah. that moment when somebody is on the podium and you have a little bit of context into their life. Like, do they have kids? Have they just overcome a injury, or maybe one of their relatives recently passed? It's like those little things that you can add into the story just make them that much more powerful.
Well, I think that that's super important too, especially in the CrossFit space, as they like, as they want it to grow, right? Like, you have mm-hmm. to get to know the athletes opposed, like their themselves, you have to get to know them personally opposed to just seeing that you're a fan of them as an athlete. Do you get yeah. what I'm saying? So like, what I've been like, one of the reasons that I like to talk to them so much is because I think on Instagram, some of them have YouTubes, but most of them don't. But on Instagram, you only get like 10 to 30 to maybe a minute, yeah. you know, of
it's very
them.
Small.
And mostly what they're posting is just their athletics. So like their snatch, their clean and jerk or whatever. So people have a chance to like be a fan of the athlete, but not necessarily of the person, which I think is like, it's good and bad, because I think if we want more, or if you want more money to get into a sport, you want more support, you have to have personalities, not just athletes.
I want to know who's doing that great right now.
Who?
Danielle Brandon. If you go to her Instagram, within the past couple of months, I would say, it has transitioned from like seeing a lot of her training and these like high polished highlight reels to, hey, here's my dog Cash, or I think a couple weeks ago she posted like, oh, I'm redoing my kitchen and here is banana wallpaper. Just like little things
stuff,
that get
yeah.
to give you an inside look to people's actual personalities
yeah.
outside of the competition floor.
Yeah, I love that. I personally think it's important because like, I don't know, I hear that some of these athletes, like, they still have to have jobs and stuff, and they're, like,
yep.
just about to hit the elite level, but they can't afford to spend any more time in the gym because they also have to pay for real life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we forget how few athletes actually have finances coming in from, like, if you look specifically at payouts from competitions, the amount of athletes that make a sustainable income is so, so, so small.
Yeah.
Most of those athletes, B, are either working at their affiliate or their sponsorship deals is really what's paying them and helping them being able to do what they love to do, which is compete.
Yeah, totally. So when you told that story about the man in the sidewalk, mm-hmm. when you're working in like TV, big TV, do you get the opportunity to like come up with stories that you want to tell, or are you like assigned different like projects?
A little of both. It kind of depends your management team. I would say my last job in television in Syracuse, New York, I mean, I probably pitched, how long was I there? I think I had a 2-year contract. I pitched hundreds and hundreds of stories, and maybe 5 times did I actually get to do the stories I wanted. I mean, that was a market where there was a lot of crime. They were really pushing like political stories and political coverage. Oh my God. You couldn't find a topic that makes me more nauseated to talk about.
Yeah.
Because I'm the type of person that was brought up by a family that, you know, you don't ask people how much money they make.
So how much money do you make?
And you don't. I think your jaw would hit the floor if you really knew the money in my bank account.
Wait, is that a good thing or a bad
no,
thing?
No, no, no. In the bad way. In the bad way.
Got it.
Oh, the other way. That would be so nice. And who you're voting for in an election.
Dude, I could care less.
And, well, not only could I care less, because I've always been able to find with most people like some kind of way that we can relate that brings us together regardless of your political views or your upbringing or all of these things. And at my last job, I was sitting in the newsroom and everybody was going around saying who they were voting for, and I was like, wait, we're supposed to be the neutral parties telling these stories.
Yeah.
Like, and we're all humans.
Yep.
So when you're going to write a script, if you kind of have that in the back of your mind, as neutral as you want to be, like, there's going to be a little bit of bias going one way or another. And it just was this, everything that I believed in about local TV and what I was passionate about and the reasons why I got into TV, there were like few and far between opportunities to tell those types of stories. Yeah. Or to like remember why I was waking up in the morning to go to a job that like deep down I just had no desire for anymore.
Did you feel like any sort of external pressure from coworkers or from the networks to kind of like be more biased towards one side politically?
So not specifically to me, but like there was a situation where my news director came to me and my coworker, and white blonde female, and she was a black female, and he looked at me and said, Lauren, you're gonna go and interview people in our rural counties about who they're voting for because you're more relatable to them. And my black female coworker was to stay in the city limits because he said she was more approachable to them.
Are you serious?
And the two of us, after this conversation with the news director, we look at each other, we're like, how funny would it be if we just do the complete opposite of what he just
did?
Did
you guys do the opposite?
Oh, we did. Yeah, we did. Because good. We both good. Knew that it was like the end of our television careers. And it was just situations like that that left a really bad taste in my mouth because, I mean, get to know me for 5 minutes. I'm very free spirit. I kind of go to the beat of my own drum. Like, doing something that just felt so wrong and felt so, like, we were being stereotyped. It just went against my grain, and it just made me hate it even more.
Yeah, well, I mean, whether we like it or not, that type of thing kind of does cause separation, right? If you won't let, like, a white person in a black neighborhood or a black person in a white neighborhood, whatever not that I think that those are things. Neighborhoods are just neighborhoods, right?
Sure.
But there is a, like, a predominance, I guess, of, like, certain people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, so just, I mean, that could be a whole separate podcast
talking about
like TV drama and just like the underbelly of what really goes on at local TV stations.
Sure.
It's different.
So I want you to educate me a little bit, okay? Because I like to tell people we're like fitness adjacent. That's like our podcast. It just so happens that, it just so happens that people in CrossFit are who we have access to.
Sure.
So what you're doing, I think, is really unique because it's run and gun with your camera, and you're doing the news reporter thing without the camera guy.
Yeah.
You are the camera girl.
And
you're the reporter.
I'm your one-man band,
exactly.
Baby.
Exactly, yeah.
One-woman band.
So, okay. I see a lot of people, like, mimicking that style now. Are you the first to do it? Was there somebody else? Where was the inspiration if you are the first to do it? Just give me the insight on it.
Sure. So I think that there were other people in the space doing similar things when you go back to regional era or sanctionals era. For example, I know Tommy Marquez traveled a ton and he's able to like shoot his own stuff and edit his own stuff. And I know Nikki Brazier did a little bit of it as well when she would travel to sanctionals. But I think at the capacity at which I'm pumping out content.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I pride myself on is
I mean,
the
you
amount of
constant.
Content I can gather. And again, this isn't high produced like Buttery Bros. Theirs is a very, very different thing. But the rate at which I can interview athletes, ask what I hope are intelligent questions to really tell a story, upload them and be on to the next thing. I mean, that all comes from my professional training in television.
Yeah.
The deadlines that I am used to were so unrealistic that, I mean, they just make you better.
Okay.
They make you realize that, oh, this was impossible, but somehow I made this happen and pulled it out of my butt.
Yeah.
And now I'm just, you know, that is the speed at which I work, and that's just kind of my baseline and my normal.
So how did you, what was the inspiration for even getting into, like, media in CrossFit, right? Because I talked to Brian Spin, Barbell Spin, right? And he just said that he, like, saw an opening for it, and he wanted to get into all barbell sports and then eventually just kind of narrowed it down to CrossFit.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that about him.
What?
I didn't know that about him, that he was trying to do all barbell sports and just, like, ended up settling, not settling, but, like, staying in the niche of CrossFit.
Well, it's just like powerlifting is so boring, to be honest. Like, I did it for a long time, so I feel okay saying that.
Well, it's just, it's different storytelling, and there's not the same type of like hype. I mean, go to a powerlifting meet and everybody is so quiet. Like,
yeah.
I would not thrive in that environment.
No, no. I mean, like, yeah.
Cool, impressive, but the celebrations on the floor, man, that is what gets me.
Yeah, CrossFit's nuts. Yeah.
So for me, when I left television, I was pretty content with just being behind the scenes and writing news stories. Mm. At that point, I didn't really know what I wanted. Truthfully, I was just like throwing darts at a blank canvas and seeing what was going to stick. I was also working full time at my affiliate and really
like
just,
as a coach.
Yep, as a coach. I also ran their social media account, and then I helped out with like sales and marketing for them.
Cool.
And like membership retention. But I knew I loved CrossFit. I knew I loved traveling to competitions, but I was almost hesitant to like go back on camera, to be honest.
Why?
I really felt jaded from the TV industry. Like, just for example, there were jobs that I didn't get because I was a woman. There were jobs that I didn't get because I was blonde and not brunette. There were jobs that I didn't get because I was told my personality is too big. So, like, going back on camera felt really vulnerable because I felt like I was not getting jobs because of who I am instead of what I can do.
Right.
And I mean, I had to overcome that. And I had coworkers at Morning Chalk Up saying, you should interview athletes. You're really good at it. Yeah. Like, we need somebody to like reignite the YouTube channel, and you would be excellent at it. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I don't think that that's the path I want to go down. And after listening to people who probably knew me better than I knew myself, I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
We'll interview people.
I feel like having a big personality is what you would want out of somebody on TV, because it would like hook, right?
Yeah. Like, it was a job for a CBS affiliate, and my news director was like, oh, you have a personality for NBC, not CBS. And I think he was relating it with like the demographic of like an older population watches CBS or something like that.
Okay,
I don't know.
It was
a silly reason, but sure. Whatever. I mean, maybe it wasn't, but here we are.
Yeah.
And I did my first athlete interview. And I mean, after the first question, I think it was Emma Carey. It was either her or Danny Spiegel. Those were two athletes that I interviewed really, really quickly in my career in CrossFit. And I just had that feeling in my belly again of, oh my God, I love this.
Yeah.
This is coming so natural to me. Like, it's very conversational. I'm getting like a little bit nervous, but like the good nerves that you're in the right space.
That's awesome. So then from that first interview, wait, are you still with Morning Chalk Up?
No. So then it was right after Wodapalooza. So about a year ago, that's when I left Morning Chalk Up and joined Talking Elite Fitness.
Got it. So all the media that you do, is it Lauren Khalil or Lauren Khalil in conjunction with Talking Elite?
Good question. So it's a little bit of both. It kind of depends. I hate when people say it depends.
Okay. Yeah.
Here I am.
There's
saying,
nuance.
Well, it depends. So when I cover the games, Wodapalooza, Rogue, those are all through Talking Elite Fitness.
Got it.
Most of the competitions, like the one that we're at right now, I do independently through Lauren Khalil, Queen of Hustle, whatever you want to call it.
Cool. Got it. Okay. So then, oh man. So Talking Elite Fitness, are you an owner of Talking Elite Fitness?
I'm a partner.
A partner. Okay. What does that entail?
So essentially, me, Sean, and Tommy run the ship together.
Got it. Okay. And so how do you go about like getting bookings for different events and separating the two?
So the way that I, at least up until this point, have kind of have separation of church and state is the big competitions that we are going to cover together is talking Elite Fitness, that's when I wear that hat.
Got
if
it.
There's an event that Sean and Tommy don't plan to be at,
sure.
And it's not really like games coverage, still relevant because they're semifinalists at a lot of the competitions I go to. Even there's sometimes games athletes, like when I was at Grove Games in the UAE, there was the Jukic brothers and a couple other games athletes. That's what I do through myself independently.
Got it, okay.
And like to me, like there's a little bit of crossover sometimes, and the three of us have kind of agreed if an interview that you do for this competition feels relevant to Talking Elite Fitness, go ahead and put it on the Talking Elite Fitness account. For example, I'm doing stuff with Tactical Games. I interviewed Jacob Heppner, a couple other CrossFitters, and they were like, yeah, if you want to also collab on TEF, that seems super relevant. So
that's cool. Awesome. Yeah. One thing that you said at WADA briefly was that you're trying to bridge the gap between like small competition and big competition. Why is that important to you?
That truly is like a big reason why I started doing stuff independently. I feel like everybody. I saw you interviewing everybody at WADAPALOOZA.
Yeah.
All the different media outlets, because everybody is there.
Yeah.
But there are hundreds of competitions that happen outside of that bubble, still within our ecosystem.
Yeah.
And there's no media coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes even the event itself doesn't really have media coverage.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a smaller event, budgets are tight. Sometimes they'll have a couple content creators that they'll hire independently, but if we're looking at like storytelling and sports coverage, you don't really see that. You don't really see somebody on the events team interviewing athletes or talking about the point spread at the top of the leaderboard and going into the final day of competition. So I thought, you know, I have these skills. I am willing to travel all over the world wherever a competition might lead me and try to help bridge that gap and make these other competitions. I love when we...
Baby hazard.
We have, little children walking around and
that's
they're great.
Funny.
It's
that's
good to see them at these competitions.
Yeah.
But, like, why can't we have professional storytelling at these other competitions just because they don't have a budget that something like the Games has?
Yeah.
And I've really tried to at least offer my own independent services to these competitions and work with them and get hired with them to help elevate their product, because then that's going to lead to maybe more signups.
Sure.
Maybe these semifinalists see that, oh, if Lauren's at an event and doing interviews, this is another opportunity that I can kind of sell myself to a sponsor because I'm getting airtime on, you know, whatever accounts, whether it's Instagram, YouTube, etc.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find other ways to make it helpful for the athletes that make them more valuable, to put more money in their pocket, because that's really like one of the big reasons that a sport becomes professional.
Yeah, 100%.
When athletes can retire from their 9-to-5 job and go all in a sport that they love.
Yeah, so speaking of 9-to-5 job, what made you want to do something like outside of that? So you went and you worked in the corporate world, right? Did you always have like an entrepreneurial type of spirit in you?
No, not really.
No?
It's like I've always held different leadership roles, like dance team captain, and I was student body president on the student government in college and things like that. But when it came to being an entrepreneur and like the thoughts of owning a business and being the person in charge, it almost gave me like, it wasn't really like fear of not succeeding, but I always kind of relied on having somebody to A, write my paycheck for me.
Yeah.
And B, give me structure.
Direction.
Like, see what my skills are and then figure out how to leverage my skills to make something really good.
100%.
Where when you're an entrepreneur or a business owner, you got to bet on yourself and go all in. And you have to know, like, what are you good at and what do you need help with?
Yeah.
And now that I'm getting older, I'm realizing that I prefer that more.
Yeah.
I've always tried to, like, take a lot of time to reflect on, Lauren, what are you good at? And what are you trying to be good at, but maybe you need to outsource?
Delegate some responsibilities.
And I think I'm really grateful for the circle of like friends and mentors that I have, because from day one, if you're in my circle, I'm like, if I have spinach in my teeth, you better be the person that is going to tell me, Lauren, go to the bathroom, get the spinach out of your teeth.
Clean out your teeth.
Like, be brutally honest with me. And I'm asking that because I know it's coming from a good place, because I'm letting you in my circle.
Oh, yes men are the worst. Like, people that just want to keep you happy.
No.
It's like,
and I will never be a yes person.
Good.
If I'm your close friend, you should expect that I'm going to be like, hey, babe, I love you. We are best friends, but I think you should divert your energy into this, because I see the passion and I see the drive.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe practice this other thing too, but I think you can go places with this.
Was there anybody in your life that kind of gave you the, I don't want to say this, but like the ick vibes after you kind of thought about it? Because I think not everybody's born with that, where they're like, I don't want yes men around me. Most people want yes men around them to just kind of confirm the biases that they have, or like maybe the bad habits that they have and stuff too. When you like were growing up, or even now, maybe when you started to become a business owner, was there some like transitionary time where you were like, okay, these people aren't necessarily good for the lifestyle that I want to live now. I have to find new people.
I would say, especially within the last calendar year, it feels like there's almost been deaths in my circle.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah.
Because they either expect me to be a yes person, and if I'm coming from a place of love and trying to help, and they don't want to hear it. Yes, I can be quiet, but to me, that's not an authentic.
It's not a good friend.
Relationship or friendship. Yeah. And I learned the hard way in the past year that, you know, my circle is tight, and there's certain values and character traits that I expect my friends to hold me to, and I should hold them as well. Yeah. And because of that, I mean, friend groups and the such, they get smaller, but they become stronger because of that.
I love that. That's awesome. All right. So, dude, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but where do you want to take this? Where do you want to take the Queen of Hustle LLC?
To be determined.
Nice.
No, like, truthfully, something that I want to continue to do is in 2024, like, CrossFit is my number one passion. It's the sport that has, I mean, it helped me with lifestyle things, it helped me with friendship things, it helped me with holding myself accountable for endless of things. But I really want to not divert, because I want to stay in CrossFit, but I want to branch out into more sports.
Cool.
Like last year, I did some stuff with Tactical Games. I'm getting more involved with that, and I'm hoping to get involved with some other like fitness verticals.
Like OCR or something?
Yep, OCR, High Rocks, Strong Man, Strong Woman, things like that. Maybe even, I don't know.
Anything mainstream? Like, could you see yourself maybe being an independent at like the NBA?
It's funny you say that, because if I were to branch out of fitness sports, basketball would be the one thing that I would probably like dive into.
Oh, cool.
I used to be a basketball player.
Got it. Jordan.
ACL. Had knee surgery.
Oh, you tore your ACL.
I did.
Dang.
I did. I tore my ACL. I had three knee surgeries because I kept getting so much scar tissue that my knee would like not stop being swollen.
Yeah.
And actually, once I started CrossFit, that was the first time that I didn't have knee pain anymore. The only time that my knee sometimes bothers me is if I pair running with pistols.
Mm, okay.
But if I do them separately,
that bothers everybody.
Things, right. Like everybody's knees hurt from that. But if I just do pistols or just run, totally fine.
Sweet. Nice.
Yeah. So maybe basketball.
Cool.
I think that would be more of like a 2 to 3 year plan.
Yeah.
I always give myself timelines for these plans, and then they never like.
They happen quicker.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not ready for this.
Yep.
What is happening?
Yeah, I feel that.
This
really
wasn't on our 5-year plan.
Just got to jump in and go for it, dude.
Yeah. I'm like, well, is anybody like really prepared when they want to be prepared?
Hell no. No way. No.
Life doesn't happen that way.
No. God, the universe, everybody, it just gives you the shit that you want when you move with right intention at the right time.
Yeah.
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 That's awesome, dude. Well, hey, I thank you so much for being on the show. Thanks for hanging out. Big thanks to Wild South. Anything that you want to plug?
They're great.
They're amazing. Wild and the South- clothes are phenomenal.
Yes, they are. They have amazing joggers.
Yeah. I need to get a pair.
I mean, their t-shirts are great. But also, Hair Strong.
Hair Strong.
Yeah. Oh, wait. You have mine in right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, the pink and the blue is our Queen of Hustle line.
Yeah, so go ahead and buy one of those. We'll drop our code in the description. You have a code.
I do.
We'll put her code in
the
description.
Queen of Hustle 10.
Queen of Hustle 10. Awesome, dude. Anything else you want to leave our viewers with?
Buckle up, because 2024 is going to be a good year.
Hell yeah, dude. Love that.
Yeah.
Awesome, guys. Like, subscribe. We'll catch you in the next one.